I don't believe it. Tom. Oh, Tom.
Hey, Bobby. It's good to see you again, man. How are things going in there?
Well, actually, they'd be going a lot better if I could hear my theme music like I'm supposed to.
Well,
what is that?
We all make mistakes from time to time. Just hang on there, Bob.
Tom, we do all make mistakes from time to time, but we don't all make the same mistake every week. Would you take that record off, for God's sake, and put my theme music on? I mean, I'm really getting tired.
Robert, have you ever stopped to consider how you might be creating this for yourself?
Tom, the only thing I'm trying to create here is a radio program.
I mean, you've got to take responsibility for the things that happen in your life.
Great. Just great. Would you take some responsibility and put my theme music on, please? I mean, I would really just like to hear...
Well, okay, but I just want you to be aware. Just aware.
Great. Thank you, Tom. Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm the host of Funny Stuff. For those of you who have not heard the program before, now that it's in a new time slot, let me just tell you that it's a half an hour program of comedy. And we tend to devote the entire half an hour to one particular creator of comedy records, although from time to time we have special theme shows and do strange things from time to time. Tonight we're going to do something not quite so strange, and we're going to listen to some of the wonderful songs of Flanders and Swann, Michael Flanders and Donald Swann. Michael Flanders is no longer with us. Donald Swann is still alive and still performing in London. Let's see, they were songwriters and wrote songs for various reviews, and were persuaded to sing their own songs in a review which was entitled At the Drop of a Hat, and it ran from 1957 to 1959 in London, and then came to New York for another successful engagement, and was followed by a sequel entitled At the Drop of Another Hat. The only other source of material from them that we have is an album that they did called The Bestiary. As you'll hear, some of their songs concern animals, and they did an entire album about animals, and if you can find it, it makes a wonderful album for children. Their songs are delightful and charming and witty and clever, and I'm sure you'll enjoy them. Let's listen to one now. Let's hear Michael Flanders himself introduce the song.
It's called The Gas Man Cometh.
"'Twas on a Monday morning the gas man came to call. The gas tap wouldn't turn, I wasn't getting gas at all. He tore out all the skirting boards to try and find the main, and I had to call a carpenter to put them back again. Oh, it all makes work for the working man to do. On the Tuesday morning, the carpenter came round. He hammered and he chiseled and he said,
"Look what I found. Your joists are full of dry rot, but I'll put them all to rights."
Then he nailed right through a cable, and out went all the lights. Makes work for the working man to do.
"'Twas on a Wednesday morning, the electrician came. He called me Mr. Sanderson, which isn't quite my name. He couldn't reach the fuse box without standing on the bin,
and his foot went through a window, so I called the glazier in. Though it all makes work for the working man to do. 'Twas on the Thursday morning the glazier came along with his blowtorch and his putty and his merry glazier song. He put another pane in, it took no time at all,
but I had to get a painter in to come and paint the wall. Oh, it all makes work for the working man to do.
'Twas on a Friday morning the painter made a start with undercoats
and overcoats.
He painted every part, every nook and every cranny, but I found when he was gone he painted over the gas tap and I couldn't turn it on. On Saturday and Sunday they do no work at all. So 'twas on a Monday morning that the gas man came to call."
This is about bathing. It's called In the Bath.
"Oh, I find a much simple pleasure when I've had a tiring day
in the bath, in the bath, where the noise of gentle sponging seems to blend with my top A. In the bath, in the bath, to the skirl of pipes vibrating in the boiler room below, I sing a potpourri of all the songs I used to know. And the water thunders in and gurgles down the overflow. In the bath, in the bath.
You sing.
Then the loathing for my fellows rises steaming from my brain. In the bath, in the bath, in the bath, and condenseth to the milk of human kindness once again. In the bath, in the bath. Oh, the tingling of a scrubbing brush, the flannel soft caress, to wield a lordly loofah is a joy I can't express. How truly is it spoken, one is next to godliness. In the bath, in the bath.
Then there comes that dreadful moment when the water's running cold. In the bath, in the bath. When the soap is lost forever, and you're feeling tired and old. In the bath, in the bath, it's time to pull the plug out, time to mop the bathroom floor. The towel is in the cupboard, and the cupboard is next door. It's starting running hot, let's have another hour or more. In the bath, in the bath, I can see the one salvation of the poor old human race. In the bath, in the bath, let the nations of the world all meet together face to face. In the bath, in the bath, with Furfurt and Kenyatta and all those other chaps. Kruma,
Nabarro,
then we'll have some peace perhaps, provided swan farmers they get the end without the taps. In the bath, in
perhaps you would play something soothing.
I would be
and
pleased.
Peaceful.
Yes, it's...
No romance, said Juliet. I haven't left school yet. We're friends, just friends, said Samson. Delilah, she's my hairstyler. We're friends, just friends, said Mrs. Fitzherbert. My friend is Prince Regent. I scorn every slur, but one must be obedient. Who's Abelard? Said Eloise. He's not my fellow, he's a friend. Just a friend, said Hero and Leander. It's nothing but slander. We're chums, just chums, said Troilus and Cressida. Don't believe the president. We're friends. When they whispered Napoleon pays Josephine's rent. Nonsense, said Bonaparte. She lives on her own apart. In her own apartment, said Orpheus and Eurydice. But that's all sub judice. So guard against gossip and take every care, lest some blameless escutcheon you plot. Such models of friendship are precious and rare, though the friendship of models is not.
Thank you. Here's another animal song. A year ago, last Thursday, I was strolling in the zoo when I met a man who thought he knew the lot. He was laying down the law about the habits of baboons and the number of quills a porcupine has got. So I asked him, what's that creature there? He answered, it's a helk. I might have gone on thinking that was true, if the animal in question hadn't put that chap to shame and remarked, I ain't a helk, I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu, I'm a gnu, the nicest worker good nature in the zoo. I'm a gnu. How do you do? You really ought to know wahoo's wahoo. I'm a gnu, spelt G-N-U. I'm not a camel or a kangaroo. So let me introduce, I'm neither man or moose. So gnu, 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 I'm a gnu. I had taken furnished lodgings down at Rustington-on-Sea, whence I travelled on to Ashton-under-Lyme, it was, actually. And the second night I stayed there, I was wakened from a dream, which I'll tell you all about some other time. Among the hunting trophies on the wall above my bed, stuffed and mounted, was a face I thought I knew. A bison? No, it's not a bison. An okapi. It's unlikely, really. Could it be a hearty beast? Then I seemed to hear a voice. I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. A another gnu. I wish I could gnash my teeth at you. I'm a gnu. How do you do? You really ought to know wahoo's wahoo. I'm a gnu, spelt G-N-U. Call me bison or a copy and I'll sue. Gnor am I in the least like that dreadful, hearty beast. Oh, gnu, gnu, gnu. Gnu, 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 I'm a gnu. Gnu, gnu, gnu. I'm a gnu.
Jungle was giving a party, a post-hibernation ball. The ballroom was crowded with waltzing gazelles, gorillas and zebras and all. But who is that animal, almost in tears, pretending to powder her nose? A poor little warthog who sits by herself in a pink satin dress with blue bows. Again, she is nobody's choice, and she sings in a sad little voice. No one ever wants to court a warthog, though a warthog does her best. I've spent a lot of money for a warthog. I am kiss-proofed and prettily dressed. I've luster rinsed my hair, dabbed perfume here and there. My gums were tinted when I brushed my teeth. I'm young and in my prime, but a wallflower all the time, 'cause I'm a warthog, just a warthog. I'm a warthog underneath.
Take your partners for the ladies, excuse me.
Excited and radiant, she runs on the floor to join the furore and fuss. She taps on each shoulder and says, excuse me. And each couple replies, excuse us. Then, having no manners at all, they sing as they dance round the hall. No one ever wants to court a warthog, though a warthog does her best. Her accessories are dazzling for a warthog. She is perfumed and daringly dressed. We know her these and those are like Marilyn Monroe's. Her gown is just a scintillating sheath. But she somehow fails to please, 'cause everybody sees that she's a warthog. Just a warthog. She's a warthog underneath. She wanders away from the floor, this warthog whom nobody loves. Then stops in amazement, for there at the door stands a gentleman warthog, impeccably dressed, in the act of removing his gloves. His fine and chiseled face seems to frown as he looks her first up and then down.
I fancy you must be a sort of warthog, though for a warthog you look a mess. That makeup's far too heavy for a warthog. You could have chosen a more suitable dress. Did you have to dye your hair? If that's perfume, give me air. I strongly disapprove of scarlet teeth.
But let us take the floor, 'cause I'm absolutely sure that you're a warthog. Just a warthog. The sweetest little, neatest little, dearest and completest little warthog underneath.
This is one of the first songs that Donald and I ever wrote together. It turned out to be a very lucky day for us.
Oh, most fortunate, my dear chap.
Certainly was, wasn't it? Today, of course, is also another rather splendid day. Today is the 50th anniversary of that marvellous day when Aloykin, the Russian chess master, played King's Pawn to Knight 7th. This caused quite a stir as they were playing bridge at the time. But, in honour of this, and because I can't think of any other way to get around it, Donald is going to sing the second chorus of this song in Russian. This is the very first of the animal songs. Some people think the title of this song is irrelevant. But it's not irrelevant, it's a hippopotamus.
A bone hippopotamus was standing one day on the banks of the cool Shalimar. He gazed at the bottom as it peacefully lay by the light of the evening star. Away on a hilltop sat combing her hair his fair hippopotamine maid. The hippopotamus was no ignoramus and sang her this sweet serenade. Mud, mud, glorious mud, nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow in glorious mud. The fair hippopotamus he aimed to entice from her seat on that hilltop above. As she hadn't got a ma to give her advice, came tiptoeing down to her love. Like thunder, the forest re-echoed the sound of the song that they sang as they met. His inamorata adjusted her garter and lifted her voice in duet in Russian.
Gräz, gräz, чудная грязь, лучше средство, как кожная мазь. Так возьми свою даму,
follow me, follow,
и поведи ее в яму.
Down to the hollow,
и там мы окунемся в чудную грязь.
There to improve our cultural relations. I wonder now what am I to say of the scene that ensued by the Shalimar side. They dived all at once with an ear-splitting splosh, then rose to the surface again. A regular army of hippopotami, all singing this haunting refrain. That's you!
Song The Ostrich Sings.
Peek-a-boo, I can't see you, everything must be grand. Book-a-pee, they can't see me, as long as I've got me head in the sand. Peek-a-boo, it may be true, there's something in what you've said, but we've got enough troubles in everyday life, I just bury me head.
Oh, ostrich, consider how the world we know is trembling on the brink. Have you heard the news? May I hear your views? Will you tell me what you think? The ostrich lifted his head from the sand about an inch or so.
You will please excuse, but disturbing news I have no wish to know. Oh, peek-a-boo, I can't see you. Everything must be grand. Book-a-pee, they can't see me, as long as I've got me head in the sand. Peek-a-boo, it may be true, there's something in what you've said, but we've got enough troubles in everyday life, I just bury me head.
Then I noticed suddenly where we were, I saw what time it was. Make haste, I said, it'll be too late, we must leave this place because... He stuffed his wingtips into his ears, he would not hear me speak. And back in the soft Saharan sand, he plunged his yellow beak.
Oh, peek-a-boo, I can't see you, everything must be grand. Book-a-pee, they can't see me, as long as I've got me head in the sand. Peek-a-boo, it may be true, there's something in what you said, but we've got enough troubles in everyday life, I just bury me.
From a sheltered oasis a mile away, I observed that dreadful scene. And a single plume came floating down where my ostrich friend had been. Because he could not bear the sound of these words I had left unsaid. Here in this nuclear testing ground is no place to bury your head.
It has long been my earnest wish to improve the standard of the music we have in these shows of ours.
Thank you very much.
Not at all, my dear sir.
Nothing, but you know that nobody has a higher opinion of your work than you do yourself. I simply meant we should have some more good music. And to this end, I have been practicing the horn, or French horn, as they call it. German horn, as the French call it. Not to be confused with the cor anglais. It's a marvellous... instrument. I took it up because I very much wanted to play the music of Mozart, in particular his wonderful horn concerto in E-flat, Kirchel rating 495, which he wrote at the age of about 18 months. That's a marvellous man. I practiced it very hard against considerable opposition, I may say, and I had hoped this evening to give you the very first performance of the last movement, the Rondo Allegro Vivace. Owing to curious circumstances, as yet unexplained, I am not able to do this. I can only tell you why. I once had a whim and I had to obey it, to buy a French horn in a second-hand shop. I polished it up and I started to play it, in spite of the neighbours who begged me to stop. To sound my horn, I had to develop my embouchure. I found my horn was a bit of a devil to play, so artfully wound to give you a sound, a beautiful sound, so rich and round. Oh, the hours I had to spend before I mastered it in the end. But that was yesterday, and just today I looked in the usual place. There was the case, but the horn itself was missing. Where can it have gone? Haven't you? Hasn't anyone seen my horn? Where can it have gone? What a blow. Now I know I'm unable to play my Allegro. Who swiped that horn? I bet you a quid somebody did, knowing I found a concerto and wanted to play it, afraid of my talent at playing the horn. For early today, to my utter dismay, it had vanished away like the dew in the morn. Tootie. Lost that horn, I know I was using it yesterday. I've lost that horn, found that horn, gone.
the stuff I chose to kill, I willingly pay a reward. I know some hearty folk whose party jokes pretending to hunt with the quorn. Gone away, was it one of them took it away? Will you kindly return that horn? Oh, where is the devil who pinched my horn? I shall tell the police I want that French horn back. I miss its music more and more and more. Without that horn, I'm feeling sad and so forlorn. I found a concerto and wanted to play it this way. My talent to play the horn, but early today, to my utter dismay, it had totally vanished away. I wanted to play it, but somebody took it away. I practiced the horn and was longing to play it, but somebody took it away. My neighbor's asleep in his bed. I'll soon make him wish he were dead. I'll take up the tuba instead. Wah, wah.
I would like to sing you now a little Edwardian or Edwardian song. Give me a chance to wear my present, my little Edwardian hat or hort. Last year, I was given a decanter for my birthday. Beautiful thing, cut glass, came from the Portobello Road, in which I keep Madeira, the wine of which I'm extremely fond. Not to excess, of course. That decanter and this hat gave us the idea for this little Edwardian song.
She was young, she was pure, she was new, she was nice. She was fair, she was sweet, 17. He was old, he was violent, no stranger to vice. He was base, he was bad, he was mean. He had slyly inveigled her up to his flat to view his collection of stamps. And he said, as he hastened to put out the cat, the wine, his cigar, and the lamps, "Up some Madeira, my dear. You really have nothing to fear. I'm not trying to tempt you, that wouldn't be right. You shouldn't drink spirits at this time of night. Have some Madeira, Madeira. It's a very much nicer than beer. I don't care for sherry, one cannot drink stout. And port is a wine I can well do without. It's simply a case of shackle and arse on gout. Have some Madeira, Madeira." Aware of the wiles of the snake in the grass, of the fate of the maiden who topes, she lowered her standards by raising her glass, her courage, her eyes, and his hopes. She sipped it, she drank it, she drained it, she did. He quietly refilled it again. And he said, as he secretly carved one more notch on the butt of his gold-handled cane, "Absa Madeira, Madeira. I've got a small cask of it here. And once it's been opened, you know it won't keep. Do finish it up. It will help you to sleep. Have some Madeira, Madeira. It's a really an excellent year. Now, if it were gin, you'd be wrong to say yes. The evil gin does would be hard to assess. Besides, it's inclined to affect my prowess. Have some Madeira, Madeira." There flashed through her mind what her mother had said with her antepenultimate breath. "Oh, my child, should you look on the wine when 'tis red, be prepared for a fate worse than death." She let go her glass with a shrill little cry. Crash, tinkle, it fell to the floor. When he asked what in heaven, she made no reply, up her mind and a dash for the door. "Have some Madeira, Madeira," rang out down the hall, loud and clear, a tremulous cry that was filled with despair as she paused to take breath in the cool midnight air. "Have some Madeira, Madeira," the words seemed to ring in her ear. Until the next morning, she woke up in bed with a smile on her lips and an ache in her head, and a beard in her ear all that tickled and said, "Have some Madeira, Madeira."
Oh. my ears. The thoroughly delightful songs of Flanders and Swan. Flanders wrote the lyrics and Swan wrote the music. It was Swan that we heard on the piano. That'll do it for tonight's edition of Funny Stuff. Tune in again next week where we'll be featuring Bob Newhart, and on the 17th, Lily Tomlin. On the 24th, a special program of musical parodies, parodies of rock and roll and all sorts of people. It should be a lot of fun. And so that'll do it. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, obscene mail, anything you'd like to send me, the address is Bob Claster with a C, Funny Stuff, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. I'd like to thank those of you that have written. I've gotten some very nice letters, and encourage those of you that haven't to do so. And that'll about do it. This is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody.